They say a picture is worth a thousand words. The idea behind this phrase is that one single image can convey an idea better than many words. Our hearts tell us this sentiment is true. We see things like nature, beauty, family, or innocence, and we get a look into the vastness of God's grace with just these single images. But we also see pictures that can cause us to question God's nature. Things like pain, hurting, violence, or injustice. The questions begin to swirl in our minds of how God can be loving if He still allows such hardships to come upon His creation. These questions can be difficult to wrestle with. But picture that puts all doubt of God's nature to rest. And this image will forever be worth more than all the other words that can be found in our vocabulary on the matter of love. This portrait will answer any question of God's heart we might ever have. This image stands as a reminder of what God went through to show us the extent of His love. And that is why this picture is worth more than a thousand words.
Most of us have walls and furniture that's filled with pictures of our families. And oftentimes, whenever we see pictures like those that you see behind me here, they look so beautiful and people's families look so picture perfect. But the reality is, no one has a perfect family. Today we're going to begin a study of one of the most important Bible characters in the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, we're going to study a character that in the book of Genesis, you wouldn't have thought so, but there is more space given to the life of Joseph than Abraham, Moses, yes, even Jacob, his father. Today we're going to look at the life of Joseph, and we're going to begin this journey in Genesis chapter 37. So if you'd take your Bible this morning, and if you'd open it up to Genesis chapter 37, in a moment I'm going to begin reading in verse 1 through verse 11. But before we do that, let me remind you a little bit about this story. The Bible tells us that Joseph was a type of Christ. He's one who makes you think of Jesus before his incarnation. In reality, Joseph's story is the story of the whole Bible. It's the story of glory through suffering, exaltation through humiliation. It's the story of the cross and a crown. Today we're going to begin looking at the life of Joseph when he was 17 years old. And over the next 8 weeks, we're going to study eight of the most greatest challenges that Joseph faced, which are common challenges that you and I face as well. But we're going to begin in verse 1 through 11 of chapter 37 by looking at the first challenge that Joseph faced that he had to overcome, and that was of an imperfect family. Look with me, if you will, beginning in chapter 37 and in verse 1. Now Jacob lived in the land where his father had sojourned, in the land of Canaan. These are the records of the generations of Jacob. Joseph, when 17 years of age, was pasturing the flock with his brothers while he was still a youth, along with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. Joseph brought back a bad report about them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a very colored tunic. And his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of his brothers. And so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. Then Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. And he said to them, "Please listen to this dream which I have had. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose up and also stood erect. Behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf." And then his brothers said to him, "Are you actually going to reign over us? Or are you really going to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Now he had still another dream and related it to his brothers, and here's what he said. "Lo, I have had still another dream, and behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." And he related it to his father and to his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have had? Shall I and your mother and your brothers actually come to bow ourselves down before you to the ground?" And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind. It's interesting because when you study the life of Joseph, you learn that Joseph lived in a very unusual situation. Joseph actually had 3 stepmothers, 10 stepbrothers, 1 stepsister, and a father that was an ineffective dad in many ways because he showed favoritism. But if you study the life of Joseph and his brothers, you learn a lot about a dysfunctional home life. As a matter of fact, listen to this statement about this. We learn that Joseph's family was so unbelievable that their story could have actually been made into a soap opera. He had 3 stepmothers, 10 stepbrothers, a stepsister, all living in the same home. And his brothers had sinned in great ways, and they had committed many acts of thievery, immorality, idolatry, and ungodliness. One writer put it like this: as we look at the life of Joseph, we have to begin where it all began, that is with the family. And yet, while Joseph became a faithful man, it was not because he got all of the breaks. What were some of the problems that Joseph faced in his family? There was favoritism. But not only was there favoritism, there was feuding. You'll notice in the passage it says that his brothers hated him, but it also said that his brothers were jealous of him. There was also jealousy in the family. There was anger in his family. There was pride. There was unethical behavior from his family. And then there was also just flat out immorality in his family. Now, my guess is after you've spent this week at home with one another more than you normally might do, it's not hard for you to identify ways that you don't have a perfect family. As a matter of fact, I don't know anyone that has a perfect family. You look at the pictures behind me, and one of the things that you may notice is that they're staff family photos. Sometimes people look at us who are in the ministry and they think, well, everything's perfect in their family. But just like everyone else's family, you look at each and every one of these photos, and there's a story. There's a story of heartache, rebellious children, difficult in marriages at times, struggles with security and insecurity, and even challenges to live the way that God wants us to live. There is no perfect family. But the good news that we're going to learn through the life of Joseph is that in spite of his family, Joseph was able to live a faithful life. Let me share this thought with you. The Bible says in Acts chapter 7 and verse 9, the patriarchs became jealous of Joseph, sold him into Egypt, yet God was with him. Max Lucado says the story of Joseph is in the Bible to teach us to trust God to trump evil. R.T. Kendall made the statement, the lesson from Joseph is that we must let God do it in his own way and in his own time. Here's what Joseph did. Joseph overcame an imperfect family because God was with him, and Joseph grew in his faith and in faithfulness to God. Now, I don't know what your background is. I don't know what it is that you may be struggling with. I don't know whether or not you come from an abusive home, or maybe you come from a non-Christian home, or maybe you come from a home where you were belittled, or maybe there's sin in the home. I don't know what it is, but I know this, that there is no perfect home. And in spite of our imperfections, you can grow in the grace of God and learn how to live a life of faith and even faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. I had a great mom and dad, and they loved me and I loved them, but we didn't have a perfect home. I know what it was like to be concerned about your siblings. I know what it was like to be in sin myself. And I know what an imperfect family looks like. Not only did I grow up in one, but I live in one right now. I want to share with you today some general truths that I think that we need to learn from the life of Joseph in these first 11 verses. And then I want to share with you some specific applications for helping you overcome an imperfect family. So very first and foremost, we need to be certain about something. We need to be certain that an imperfect family, it may actually define you or determine your future, but it really doesn't have to. Oftentimes today, whenever we hear someone and they're having a difficult time, we want to cast a glance backward, and people want to say, well, I'm the way that I am because of the way that I was raised, or I am the way that I am because of the way that I was treated. Now, I don't want to diminish the way that anyone was treated, and I don't want to diminish the way that anyone was raised. But when you look at the life of Joseph and you understand that even in his imperfect family, God was at work. You see, when you study the life of Joseph, you're seeing the sovereignty of God at work revealed in the providence of God's care for his own. So be certain. Yes, many people allow their past to define them and determine their future, but I believe God's word teaches us you don't have to. But there's a second general truth that I think we find here, and that is we have to be honest. And that is every imperfect family includes us. And that is that every single one of us are imperfect in some way. Now, when you look at this passage of Scripture, it's very interesting because people have a tendency to raise Joseph up at this point to a level that he really wasn't at yet. Because Joseph was a work in progress that God was bringing out of him what he wanted to see in him so that he could live out his faith in a faithful manner. Because when you study this passage, notice what it says here. The Bible says that he was his father's favorite son. Verse 3, Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons because he was the son of his old age. And so what did Jacob do? He gave to Joseph a gift that all of his siblings knew indicated that Joseph was the favored one. That's never a good thing. You know what favoritism does? Favoritism has a way of diminishing and discouraging others. He gave him this robe, this multicolored long-sleeved coat. And then the Bible tells that Joseph had this gift of dreams and not only having dreams, but interpreting dreams. And when you look at the life of Joseph, you find out that he was not a very perfect man. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us he was a tattletale. His father sent him to check on his brothers who were minding the sheep. And when he came back, he gave his father a bad report about his brothers. He was a tattletale. But not only was he a tattletale, the Bible says that he flaunted his coat. He was an arrogant teenager. He was not a perfect young man. But not only did he do that, the Bible says he abused his gift. Twice in this passage we read about he has a dream, he knows what the dream is about, and he goes to his brothers, and it's almost as if Joseph is holding in front of them this attitude of, look at this dream that I've had. Everyone look at the dream that I've had. Look what I'm going to do. You are going to bow down to me. And then he had a second dream, and in that second dream, he actually had another dream, and he said, I want to show you what my father and my mother and my siblings are going to do. And if you'll notice what it says in this passage, the Bible says in this passage in verse 8, his brother said to him, are you actually going to reign over us? Are you really going to rule over us? And so they hated him even more. In verse 10, he related it to his father and to his brothers. His father rebuked him and said, what is this dream that you have had? Shall I and your mother and your brothers actually come and bow ourselves down before you to the ground? And then in verse 11, and his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind. Let's be honest. Oftentimes, whenever we think about the imperfections of our family members, and what they do that irritates us or impacts us, the truth of the matter is, the Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us needs a Savior. And when we understand our need for God's grace, and we're honest enough to admit our own ineffectiveness, then the scripture teaches us that we can show greater grace to those that are around us. So, three general truths. First of all, be certain. Number two, be honest. And then number three is be encouraged. Be encouraged that you don't have to be perfect to be wonderfully used by God. Joseph may have been off to a bad start, but the truth of the matter was that God was going to use him in an incredible, powerful way. I don't care what your past has been. I don't care what you have done and where you have been. The Bible says if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away and all things become new. So be honest with yourself, but be encouraged. In Acts chapter 14, the Bible says in verses 21 and 22, after they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. You know, right now, we're going through a lot of tribulations in the world. Not just in Huntsville and not just in the United States of America. But literally all around the world, people are being squeezed. People are under duress. People are living in fear. And what an opportunity for every one of us who bears the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to look at the life of Joseph and learn how to be an overcomer, how to walk by faith, and to live out faithfully what God calls for us to be. Now, we had heard about Joseph prior to Genesis 37. We knew about when he was born. We knew about when he met his uncle Esau. And we learned about him in other ways, but it's here in Genesis 37 that at the age of 17, we really pick up the story of Joseph, because we're going to see that even though he came from an imperfect family, and even though every time he turned around, he was either put into a pit or a prison, that ultimately God was going to exalt him to a palace and deliver his people. I want to tell you something. It's the story of the gospel. That everything that we walk through, every storm that we find, every struggle that we face, is an opportunity for us to continue living out our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in such a way that he is honored and glorified. And even though we may walk through what we think to be the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for he is with us. So three general truths: be certain, be honest, but be encouraged. Now I want to share with you five specific applications that I think will help you as we begin this journey in the life of Joseph. The Bible tells us, first of all, that if you're going to overcome an imperfect family, that you overcome an imperfect family when you accept trials graciously. I think right now, the things that we're walking through, I actually saw a video last night of people in Australia getting into a fight over toilet paper. Really? I don't like what's happening right now. There's a lot of things in my life that I don't like that happens. But one thing that you and I can do is we can walk by faith and live faithfully when we accept trials graciously. Why? Because we are confident in the sovereignty of God and his providential care over our lives. The second application is this: respond to trials faithfully. That is, you don't have to think 3 years from now. You don't even have to think 3 months from now. The only thing that you have to do is obey God in this moment. And that was the challenge that Joseph was going to be faced with. Every trial along the way, how was he going to respond? And you and I can respond to every trial that is brought before us with faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. The third specific application is this: we can grow in faith. The scripture says, without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. Right now, as Christians, we have an incredible opportunity to express to everyone around us our faith and confidence that no matter what's happening, no matter what we see with our eyes, what we hold in our hands, what we smell, what we feel, no matter the emotions that come, our faith is founded on a solid rock called Jesus. And we know that during this season, we will grow in faith to see what God and God alone can do. I'm excited about what God's going to do, how God's going to stretch every single one of us to trust him in ways that we have never, ever trusted him before. So if you want to overcome an imperfect family, you don't look back, but you live by faith and you live faithfully, growing in your confidence and trust in the Lord. There's a fourth specific application, and that is we have to rest in God's providence. The fact that God is providentially looking after us, caring for us, and working in our lives. There are a lot of bad things that happen to people. I'm talking to someone this morning that you have recently walked through a divorce that you didn't want. I'm not saying God caused it or God wanted it. What I do know is you can trust God's providential care in your life. I'm talking to a child right now that you're struggling because you're frustrated. Maybe a senior in high school or a college student that says, you know what, this semester was my last one. And everything I dreamed of from my senior year is thrown out the window. I'm talking to someone that is in a marriage where they feel wounded, unloved, and unappreciated. And someone says, God, this isn't what I bargained for. I want you to rest in the providential care of God. I'm talking to someone who you have a rebellious child and you did everything that you could do to teach them about Jesus, to pray for them, to nurture them and love them. But they have rejected everything that you have ever taught them and the way that you have loved them. And you have felt like a failure. You have felt like a dysfunctional home. You have wondered how could this have happened. And I'm here to say to you, listen to me, you need to trust God's providence. There's a fifth practical application. When we look at the life of Joseph, one of the things that we're going to learn is that Joseph knew what it meant to take responsibility. Not only do you have to rest in God's providence, but you have to take responsibility. Don't blame your parents or your past. Let God deal with you until you are responsible for being just like you are. Joseph overcame an imperfect family because he lived by faith and he walked faithfully before the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I had a good mom and dad, and I knew that they loved me. But even in that, we had an imperfect family, and even when I was a young Christian at the age of 16, the only person in my family at the time that went to church, I want you to know that even in those times when I would go home and nobody else was getting up and going to church or no one was going to a Bible study and we weren't discussing spiritual things in our home, I want you to know it was the grace of God and the people of God that worked in my life to help me grow in faith and faithfulness. And I had to be responsible for whether or not I was going to follow Jesus or follow after the pattern in my home. You see, ultimately, you rest in the providence of God, but God expects you to take responsibility for your life and to walk by faith and not be living in the past. It's very interesting. If you were to mention the name Madeline Murray O'Hare, most everyone here would remember that name. A famous atheist who actually was responsible in 1963 for having prayer taken out of the public schools. What you may not remember is that tragically, Madeline Murray O'Hare and one of her sons and her granddaughter were kidnapped and brutally murdered. But her oldest son, William J. Murray, was a young man that was actually a part of the plaintiff case that was involved in getting prayer taken out of the public school. He actually wrote a book entitled My Life Without God. And in that book, Bill Murray chronicled the horrible, horrendous upbringing that he had in the home and at the hands of Madeline Murray O'Hare. As a young man with failed marriages, adultery, and embezzlement, and everything you could imagine in his life, Bill Murray came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and Lord. Today, he's a minister, and he serves the Lord, and he shares the gospel, and in spite of being brought up in a grossly immoral, ungodly, atheistic home, Jesus changed everything. I know that our past leaves us with scars, but I can promise you this morning that your future in Jesus Christ is greater than any past that you may have. I want to ask you this morning, are you living in the past of your imperfections? Or are you living in the past of an imperfect family? Maybe you grew up without a dad, or an absentee dad, or an angry dad, or an indifferent dad. What I want you to know is that there is a good, good Father who loves you, and He wants you to be His child. And if you've never met Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, the Bible says that all you have to do is turn away from your sin, admit to God that you are a sinner, cry out to Him and say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I trust Him as my Savior and Lord. And when you cast yourself on the mercy of God, God becomes your heavenly Father. And I promise you, He's a good one. In a moment, we're going to sing that song again, Good, Good Father. And on the screen, you're going to see some ways that you can contact a pastor in our church and say, I'd like to talk with someone and pray with them. If you'll let us know, we'll respond. Maybe this morning you're already a Christian and you have blamed your inability to walk faithfully with the Lord on your past, on your parents, on your siblings. Ultimately, God says, you've got to rest in my providence. Nothing you've been through surprises me. You take responsibility to live by faith and to walk faithfully before me, and I will be with you, and I will never forsake you. Let's pray for one another. God, I pray this morning that in the power of your Holy Spirit, that every single one of us would know and understand that none of us live a picture-perfect life, that every family has imperfections. And Lord, in those imperfections, you use every situation to either draw us to Christ or to shape us into the image of Christ. And so right now this morning, we want you to be our good, good Father. And we give you praise, and we tell you that we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who I am, you're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You are perfect in all. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.